Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation chapter number 2. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Mark and brother in the choir. Thank you today for the music. Amen. Appreciate the good number in the house of the Lord today. Appreciate the Spirit of God. Isn't God good to us? Amen. I enjoy serving the Lord. Amen. I enjoy serving God. A couple of weeks ago, talked to you about the first 7 verses of this chapter, the church in Ephesus, talked about revival or removal, talked about how Christ spoke to the church at Ephesus. Today I want to talk to you about the church in Smyrna, starting at verse number 8. We're reading down through verse number 11. For alliteration purposes, the church in Ephesus we called the church with a careless heart. The Smyrna church we will call the church with a consecrated heart. But what I want to preach to you about today is heaven knows. Heaven knows. Starting in verse number 8, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." Notice what he says. Verse number 9. "I know. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. But thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Twice in this passage of Scripture, "I know." I'm glad today heaven knows everything that's going on in your life. That's comforting. If we dismissed right now and you left, you could say it's been good because I'm reminded he knows everything I'm going through. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your grace. Speak to us today, Lord, as we contemplate your word, as we open your word, speak into our hearts and our lives, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention again to the church at Smyrna. Of course, out of the 7 churches, 2 were absolutely commended with no qualifications or no corrections, and Smyrna is one of those churches. As I preached the first time on Ephesus, I was reminded recently, and I love preaching from the parables, and I love preaching from the miracles. But it dawned on me clearly that when Christ wanted to write post-resurrection, when Christ wanted to send a message to the church after his resurrection, he chose not to give parables, and he chose not to give miracles. These 2 chapters, Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, were the words that were written to the church, me and you, as saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled believers that are following Jesus Christ. That I love to preach the miracles and I love to preach the parables, but in all reality, a lot of the truths were hidden in the parables and the miracles, but have been revealed to us through the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost. And we should be much more mature as those that Christ targeted when he spoke concerning parables and he spoke concerning his miracles. These are the letters to the churches. And not just to any church. Notice there are seven churches. There are seven letters. If you follow the path through from starting at Ephesus, which would have been the first on the journey, it seems as if God sent a messenger with messages to every church. And Smyrna didn't get the message from Ephesus. They received a letter that was specifically just for them. I believe Christ knows exactly where we're living. I don't believe this was a church ages. I believe probably all seven of these characteristics can be found in every assembly, if not in every believer, in every assembly at some point in time in our life. As we look into the word of the Lord today, Smyrna is in the midst of great conflict. Smyrna is paying a dear, dear price for serving God. This is a church that would, and this message would not resonate popularly in our society. Because in our culture, we equate success with serving God. But this is a church that is going to face severe obstacles for naming the name of Jesus Christ. This is a church that is going to shed blood because they lift up the name of Jesus Christ. It may come to that point in your life and my life. What has it cost me lately to serve Christ? Ridicule? Opposition? It certainly hasn't cost us our lives or even torture. In all reality, sometimes even persecution is limited for us in naming the name of Jesus Christ, but not for the folks at Smyrna, not for this little church in all of this big city. Notice three things I want to preach to you about, and I believe this is entirely important. As Christ writes to every church, he introduces himself differently to every assembly. Notice the preeminence of Christ as we open the letter. Notice it was addressed to the angel of the church. When I want to preach about him in just a little while, which you know who he is, and I want to remind you of him in just a little while. But notice the preacher is standing up front. They receive a letter from Christ. The seals are broken and the scroll is unfurled. It's a short letter. It's the shortest of all seven letters from Christ. It's only four verses long. And the first thing is the preeminence of Christ, and notice his description. The first thing Christ wants to tell to this church, again, against the backdrop of persecution, against the backdrop of torment, against the backdrop of those that are ridiculing them and murdering them, Christ writes and he says, I am the first and I am the last. That's the first thing that he wants this church to begin to comprehend or to remind them of. Because how many times have you and I, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of torment and opposition, we can forget about the God that we're serving. We can forget about who we are serving, and we look around at all our opposition. And so Christ writes to the Smyrna church and he reminds them, hey, I know that your government is in close alliance with Rome. History says that even the Smyrnans, the citizens receive reports of how the Roman soldiers are being beat down in a battle and needing supplies. They ripped off their clothes and took food out of their houses and sent to the battlefield for the Roman citizens. And so this government is in close alliance with Rome. And so Christ writes to them and he says, I know the hand of Rome has so oppressed this church that they have tried to snuff out the fire and the name of Christ in this assembly. But I am writing to you as the first and the last. I am writing to you as the Alpha, and I am writing to you as the Omega. What is he saying? I am writing to you as the eternal, omnipotent, almighty God. I am writing to you as the first. And so let's go over here for a little bit and talk about the first. He said, I am the Alpha. I am the beginning. Every man that has lifted their hand against you has come after
after me. I am everlasting. I am eternal. I am the first. But then he also said that I was before them, but I also will be after them. I am the first and I am the last. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. After time has removed every one of them, and God bless them, after time has removed every one of them, he said, I am still going to be the last. I am going to be the reigning, supreme, omnipotent, almighty God. Oh, I'm glad today that we're serving a resurrected Jesus. I'm glad this morning that we come in today not to pay homage just to a little dead God. Amen. Name Muhammad or Muhammad or Buddha that was conquered by death. But we notice the preeminence of Christ when he said, I am the first and I am the last. He said, I am he that was dead but am alive. He said, I have conquered death. You understand, Smyrna was being persecuted with the fear of death. The news was, we're going to kill every one of you. You name it the name of Christ, we're going to snuff you out. We're going to murder every one of you. Well, Christ writes a letter and he says, hey, I am he that was dead, but I am alive. Amen. I'm greater than death. The thing that they are trying to torment you with, I've already conquered that. I've already beat that. I'm greater than death. Can I preach this morning about our God that is alive? Our God that reigns supreme this morning. I get weary with Christians that get so perplexed and beat down and discouraged that they're always in the molly grubs. I get sick and tired of folks that they got a migraine, they can't serve God. Somebody steals their parking space or overcharges them on a bill. They feel like they're being persecuted for the gospel's sake. I said, come on here for a second. These folks, they were having swords put to their necks. They were having family ripped out of their homes, but they still gathered together in a little assembly and said, Caesar is not God. Caesar is not God, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. And some of us got little old things, nothing matters, just those little old trinkets going on, little old trivial things, and we just sit there in the presence of God and act like so many things are so big that we don't have anything to shout or rejoice about. My God, remind us this morning, take our eyes and scales and wipe them, and let us see Jesus Christ, that he's high and lifted up, that he's altogether lovely, that the one that walked the sandy shores of Galilee and was pierced in the side and placed in a borrowed tomb, but he rose on resurrection morning, and I feel him this morning, and I'm part of the church of Jesus Christ, and I believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Every last one of us, if we're covered by the blood, I said every last one of us, if we're covered by the blood, ought to look the face of the devil and shout to hell that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Away with the fact of being backed in the corner. Away with the fact of walking the floors at night and wrestling our hands wondering what are we going to do. I can't take it anymore. Oh yes you can. I said he was dead but he's alive. I said, and if he conquered death and he conquered hell and he conquered every battle, I said he walks the aisles of our hearts this morning. Look your problem in the face. Look your battles in the face and say, I'm greater than this thing. Amen. I was with Sister Shipes this week. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, in the midst of a hospital room, I said, I know she can shout in the house of God. Amen. We've seen her do it multiple times. But I'm going to tell you, she can feel God in the midst of a hospital room as well as she can in the house of God. Amen. Yeah, I'll take somebody that can shout on the mountain, but give me somebody down in the valley. I say, give me somebody that day in, day out, 24/7 can walk in the house of the Lord. Like Job said, that when you lose everything, when the devil has taken it all, lift your hands toward heaven and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. I say lift him up today. He is Jesus Christ. He is resurrected. I say Jesus Christ. He is all powerful. And he writes to the church of Smyrna and says, have you forgot who I am? Woo! Do you know who Jesus is? Hallelujah. 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 Half the church world doesn't even know who he is, I'm convinced. Because they want to talk about problems and heartache and sorrow. Let's talk about Jesus. Well, notice number two, the persecuted church. Two words. I know. Not only is he a God that is so high and powerful, but he is a God so compassionate. He knows. I don't know everything you're going through. I know a little. I know you're tired of going to Macon, to the chop shop they call a VA hospital. You're tired of that. Let me ask you this. How well do you know yourself? Pretty well. How many hairs are on? How many hairs are on your head? I don't either. He does. He does. He does. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're feeling. You was shouting the other night, feeling pretty good. Starting to feel better. A lot of folks. I told them I didn't know if you're shouting in victory or faith. How many hairs? You do that.
Woo!
You.
Glory to God forever. I feel good. Preach, man, preach. If you don't, I'm going to get up and do something.
You. I am. How many hairs are on your head?
I don't know.
But he does. I said he does. How many sparrows do you think fell to the ground this week? I don't know. I had one little bird I tried to help fall to the ground this week, but I missed him. I don't know how many sparrows fell to the ground this week. But he attended the funeral of every one of those little sparrows. And if he watched the sparrow fall to the ground, how much more? I said, how much more does he know what I'm going through? Maybe you didn't think anybody knew. You were awake at night, laying there, tears coming down your face. Maybe your spouse didn't even know, amen, how worried and perplexed you really are about that thing. I'm going to tell you, if it wakes you up at the night, and there it is again, and that old depressing spirit tries to envelop you, I come to tell you this morning, heaven knows. I said, heaven knows. Amen, you might have grabbed your side, and the doctor said, it looks bad. We're going to have to get you in for some more tests. You crawled into a prayer line and didn't tell anybody. You say nobody knows. Amen. I got news for you. Somebody does know. I said heaven knows. I said heaven knows. Amen. Those little saints at the Smyrna church, they got that letter. They broke the seals. Amen. The bishop started reading. Matter of fact, the angel started reading. And the word from Christ was this. I know. I know. I know. Oh, glory to God, I can't tell you how that encourages me right now, that I know I've got a communication line, that I know the eyes of the Lord are looking down upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. I can't even take care of myself sometimes, but I got a God in heaven. I said I got a God in heaven that's got all power. Now some of you ain't getting it. I can tell it. Amen. You want somebody to pity you. Someone, somebody sends you a card, sends you a phone call. I got something better than that. I don't have a text message. I don't have an email to send you. I don't have a card or a cake. But I got a God in heaven that says I know. I see your fasting. I see your prayer. I see your heartache. I see your child. I see the sickness. I see the promotion. I see the bills. I see the heartache. But I got it covered. I said I've got it covered. I know. know. I know your persecution. I know your travail. I know your sorrow. But I know. Anybody glad this morning? God knows. Why don't you just lift your hand toward heaven and say, thank you, God, that I know. That I know that you know. Oh, hallelujah. 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 The persecuted church. Persecuted church. Rome said, well, they're cannibals. Because they take communion and they claim it's the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. So they're cannibals. They said they're full of immorality. They have a feast, a common feast called the Agape Feast. They got to be full of immorality. Rome said, well, there's no idols in that church. And they won't worship any other god. So they're atheists. Because there's no idols. And that church is being persecuted. Beat on. Matter of fact, they're being crushed. Because you know what the name Smyrna means? Myrrh. You remember they brought gold, frankincense? What did Brother Jonathan stand up and talk about today? An aroma that went through the house, a fragrance. The name Smyrna means it came from a thorny bush that when it was crushed, it brought forth an aroma that was used for burial purposes. John 15, the body of Jesus was prepared using myrrh. There was something aromatic about it. It changed the atmosphere. Christ said, this problem that you have, it is bringing forth an aroma that changes the atmosphere of everything that it comes in contact with. On the outside may be one thing, but when I step into the house of the Lord, woo! Anybody feel that it's different than any other place you go the rest of the week? How many of you, no matter what kind of week you have, you say, oh, if I can just get to the house of the Lord. And then when I hear somebody start playing the piano, or I can hear somebody start singing a song, I said the atmosphere starts changing. I said praise, it starts filling the atmosphere. Matter of fact, it's a sweet smelling savor in the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, oh, let there be that aroma today. You say, I don't know what I'm going through, why I'm going through what I'm going through. I may not be able to explain it, but I know this, that if you'll allow God to work in your life, it'll bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth a sacrifice of praise. Amen. It'll bring forth a hallelujah. It'll bring forth a Jesus is Lord. It'll bring forth a glory to God that'll change the atmosphere. Instead of getting bitter, instead of complaining, we ought to lift our hands and say, thank God I'm a Christian. Thank God I'm a born again believer. Thank God. A persecuted church. That message doesn't resonate well with this generation. It just doesn't. Some of you think persecution, somebody sit in your seat. Persecution for some of us, Sunday school went 2 minutes long. I'm going to intentionally persecute some of you right now because it's 4 after 12. And I'm not done preaching. Oh, he's killing us. Oh. Persecution. We don't have a clue about it. We really don't. Matter of fact, the economy the last 2 years, for some of you young folks, young marrieds, hasn't it taught us to appreciate a little bit better what we do have? Hasn't it made us step back a little bit and say, thank you, Lord,
for what we do have. As far as I know right now, we don't have anybody out of work that wants a job, that's looking for a job. We don't have anybody out of work. You telling me in a congregation of 200 and some folks, that's not God? Unemployment, depending on where, if you're a Democrat, you think it's 6. If you're a Republican, you think it's 20. I tend to go higher than lower, but it's high. But God's taking care of us. I said, God's taking care of us. A persecuted church. But then Christ reminded them. Now, if I was writing an encouraging letter, I might not tell you everything you was getting ready to go through. Encouragement to me would be, you came through that, brother. It's going to get better now. It's not what Christ wrote. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. It's going to get worse. The devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation. Be thou faithful unto death. But notice the third thing, the promised crown. And I will give thee. And I will give thee a crown of life. Brother Mark, I need you for a second. I need the Polycarp verse. He ain't never done me anything but good. He said, oh, that's good. That's history. Well, let's go back a little bit. The angel receives the letter from Christ. There are seals. Now, you may not believe this, but the angel was the pastor of the church. Now, I know that may be hard for you to understand. It's not hard for me. I understand it real well. That may be hard for you to wrap your mind around that. But the angel of the church was the pastor. Now, I don't have halo or wings, so I don't. But anyway, the letter came. It was given to the pastor, the bishop, the angel to read to the church. Polycarp. We sang about him for a long time. Who is Polycarp? Yeah. Well, he died around AD 155 at 86 years old. But do you know who the angel of the church was when Christ sent this letter to Smyrna? It was Polycarp. Polycarp. History says that they're having the Colosseum games. A shout comes out from somewhere in the stands. Away with the atheist! Away with the atheist! Let Polycarp be found. They find Polycarp. His location is given up by a young slave girl who is tortured. She succumbs to the torture and gives up the location of Polycarp. The Roman guard captain and his posse go to take Polycarp. He asks for a meal to be prepared for all of those that come to arrest him, that he might have 1 hour of prayer with Christ. While his soldiers that are there to arrest him are eating that meal, Polycarp, in uninterrupted prayer with Christ, begins to pour his soul out unto death. They bring Polycarp into the Colosseum. The crowd is cheering. They're excited. Away with the atheist. Away with the atheist. All he has to do is to make a little sacrifice into a fire and say that Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. Polycarp said, I cannot. All right. All you've got to do is say, Caesar is Lord.
He said, for 86 years I've served him, and he's done me no ill will. I cannot be unfaithful to my God. They said, we'll feed you to the beast. So be it. They said, we'll burn you at stake. He said, then so be it. The crowd was so enraged that they come leaping down out of the stands. They circled him. They were going to tie him to a stake. He said, there's no need to tie me to a stake. The God that has brought me liberty and freedom will allow me freedom to withstand this fire. They began to torch his body. History records that the fire would not consume Polycarp's body, but it made a circle around him. And inside of that fire, Polycarp was lifting up his hands and worshiping God, but the fire would not touch him. Oh, can I preach to you today about standing up? I said, standing up, be faithful thou unto death. What are we going to do now? Woo! Fire won't. So they pierced him with a sword. And the song says, as the blood came running down,
he kept praising the Lord.
He continued to praise. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Let's get in this Colosseum. Look yonder in the midst. As that crowd is gathered round, look yonder. As that 86-year-old man of God is led out, he's being faced with fire. He's being faced with death. But look at that strong, I said, 86-year-old man with his hands lifted up. I said, I can make it. I said, anybody in 2010, I said, I can stand what I'm going through. I can take another step. I can keep on serving him. I can keep on walking for the Lord. Let's go. Sing it.
History tells of Polycarp, a martyr for the gospel's sake. They put a fire around him and they tied him to a stake. But the fire would not consume him, so they pierced him with a sword. The blood ran down, put out the fire, but still he praised the Lord. He said, all these years I've served him,
he's
always done me good. I won't recant, just tell me why I should.
All right, now, what's your biggest problem? What's your persecution? What's stopping you from serving God? He might make fun of me. My neighbor found out I don't have a TV. Everybody in the neighborhood making fun of us. I had a fella yesterday ridicule me for the way that I'm raising my kids. I'm not going to go into all the counseling sessions that he has to go through to work through all of his problems. But thanks be unto the Lord, I've never had to go to a marriage counselor. I've never had to take my kids to see a psychiatrist. I don't have to take any antidepressants. I'm just telling you, God has been good. I said, when you start talking about you all the time, I said, you're going to get discouraged. If all I ever talked about was me, I'm living in a small, small world. If all you're ever talking about is yourself and how you feel and what you think and what you're going through and how they doing you, you're going to be so locked up in a corner, so tied up and tangled up with depression and sorrow, you're not going to have any strength to praise God. I said, but I'm going to tell you this morning, if you could come up out of that corner and begin to talking about the Alpha and the Omega. I said, if I could preach a little while on the first and the last, the beginning and the end, can I preach about the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley? Can I preach about a friend that sticks closer than a brother? I dare you. I challenge you. You can't praise him and stay discouraged. You can't praise him and stay down. He's going to pick you up. I said, he's going to raise you up. Hallelujah. All these years I've served him, and he's always done me good. Anybody in this building, he hadn't been good to you? I'm not trying to get you to the altar right here. I'm just trying to get you to look at your problem. I'm trying to get you to look at that thing that always triggers the wrong response. And get it. Get it under your feet. He did not die on a borrowed cross, be placed in a borrowed tomb, and rise on resurrection morning for me to walk around beat down, discouraged, and limping along. He died and rose again that the church might have life and have it more abundantly. Our services are not funerals to a dead Christ, but they are to be arguments that he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. We ought to look around today and see manifestations of his presence and say, whoop, he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. How many of the devil tells you, tries to bring up things, just tries to get you? I tell you what, who wants to get beat up today? Come here, Grant. Come here, come here. Some of your brothers, right? Come on, come on. You ain't been wanting to take a pot shot at him? Come on. How many of you, man, you got a better testimony than I did. Man, it lined up for me when I was a teenager. But the devil ever do this to you? Just kind of push you around? Always wanting to try to hold your hands down? Always trying to want to jerk you around?
Yeah, right.
Anybody feel like that trying to serve God? He said, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it. I tell you what you do. You're putting up with him way too long. I said, you're putting up with him way too long. I said, the blood of Jesus Christ is greater. I said, greater is he that is in you. You ought to shout on his head. You ought to dance on the devil for a while. And say, my God is greater. Woo! Hallelujah. You say 12:18 on a Sunday afternoon? I'm coming up out of this thing. Some of you so severely persecuted, you're in church 18 minutes longer than you normally are. Right now your stomach's, it's wondering if Jesus is coming or something. It's all messed up. Come on. He knows. And he knows what you need. Now you're ready to receive the letter. I don't know what's in the letter that he has for you. But while they're getting ready to sing, and I'm done right here. I really felt in prayer this week. He's got a letter with your name on it. I can't read it. I've tried. I've got close, but I can't read it. You got to break the seals. But I feel like he told me to tell you he knows. He knows. And he's got a letter. And while they sing, I'm done. And church is dismissed. If you need steak, potatoes, or chicken, go on. But if you need a letter, I said, if you need a letter from Jesus Christ, I said, there's a letter waiting for you right now. I said, right now at 12:19 on a Sunday afternoon in a hot middle of August. I said, he's got a letter. And what I need to know, are you willing to receive the letter? Are you willing to break the seals? Are you willing to say, yeah, Lord, speak to me, for thy servant heareth. Come on and sing and worship God. I'm asking you by the authority of God's word. I said, do you need a word from God?